time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I mean, the IRS must hate bowl season because everyone's got their taxes right.
Pete Thamel.
Would he ever be able to win at a level that he would want to and that his ego would require to? No.
With SI's Pat Forty.
God help me, I'm now lone wolfing Central Michigan. What is my life come to?
Welcome to the pod, part two of the bowl extravaganza. We got 18 more games to come through. How about that? Maybe more. I don't know. I got lost somewhere in a sponsorship fog in the middle there trying to figure out what the trans perfect was or something
tax
like
act
that. I don't
parts know. Parts two and three.
My taxes better be so I mean, the IRS must hate bowl season because everyone's got their taxes right.
I'm going to get double my income in taxes for the amount of tax things I've watched.
Yeah. Signing up for all of them. All of them. Everyone does my bowl. Everyone does my taxes. Anyway, we actually have Ivan Glasser, a podcast listener. He's a tremendous accountant. Farmington Hills, Michigan. Glasser and Associates. I highly recommend. So there you go.
He also is a big fan of Epic Athletes. If you ever go to Ivan for your 401.
Yeah, listen, I'm just giving this. I'm not getting anything out of this. We're not getting anything from Tax Slayer. At least Ivan's a good dude. Big Michigan fan. Very excited.
I feel like anyway, we should let Pat like pump his Jimmer Fredette book once in a while.
I mean, seriously.
I did not mention the books. I did not. But if you do, they're still available for Christmas. So thank you, Pete.
There's anyway. No supply chain issues with the Steph Curry.
No.
I have actually bought them for my friend's kids. They are great gifts.
Yeah, thank you. See, totally independent, unbiased recommendation right there. I'm just trying to scrap out a living here doing a podcast. Come on, people.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about a guy who's got plenty of money. We're going to get to the Bulls, and we're going to get to some of the results, which are pretty good. But the big news, we adopted him as our favorite NFL coach because he really isn't an NFL coach. Urban Meyer, that our bit only lasted 13 games. Ties Bobby Petrino and Lou Holtz as the shortest tenures of college to pro jumps. If I'm Jim Harbaugh right now, I am pointing to my NFL record and like sending a letter to Urban's Pint House. Like, just try. I mean, you've been trolled, like the 7-0 cafe or like at least I won there. I went to
Jim Harbaugh
Super Bowl.
Is a good NFL coach.
He's a very good NFL coach. Went to the Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
You know, like some guys get to the Super Bowl and it's like, well, yeah, he had this dude. Anyway. Urban is gone. He was fired. Total disaster of a tenure. It was like every negative quality of Urban blew up on him and every positive quality just didn't work. This could not have gone worse. The offense was absolutely atrocious. The defense was pretty good, but clearly lost everybody in that building. His coaches are leaking stuff. Players are leaking stuff. Former players are everyone. Nobody likes Urban. So, thoughts on Urban's demise, and then in our thing, could Urban come back to college? You know, he's going to say, I don't want to coach again. That's fine. He may not, but he's only 57, and he's told us he's retired or been fired now. This is his fourth time, one firing, three retirements. Could Urban, is there a place for Urban back in college football? Pat, I'll start with you.
Yeah, and if you didn't hear the Yahoo NFL podcast with Charles Robinson last week, Dan and I buried Urban the day before Urban got fired. So we had a lot of thoughts on Urban then. I still, you know, look, we've all covered this sport long enough. Are you really going to tell me that somebody's not going to want to hire Urban Meyer? No. Does it actually happen? We'll see. I think it would probably depend what sort of level he will allow himself to come back at. If he thinks I'm only coming back for a Cadillac job, he might have a little bit of a rude awakening. But Bobby Petrino's coaching. Now he's coaching in the FCS level at Missouri State. Hugh Freeze is coaching. Now he's coaching at Liberty after being in the SEC. But he's a better coach than both of those guys and arguably has less baggage, although he's got pretty good amount of baggage at this point.
Acquiring
so,
bags.
Yeah, he has acquired plenty. So I will say that if he wants to coach again, he will absolutely find a job. It's just a matter of what level he will see himself being able to come back at. I've known a lot of coaches and seen a lot of coaches who thought that after getting fired or something goes wrong, well, I'll jump right back in at a really good spot. And then all of a sudden they don't get a job they want and they don't get another job they want. And it's like, what happened? It's like, oh, you got to realize you're a little bit damaged goods now. But Urban Meyer has 3 championship rings he can flash. People will look at those. Somebody will say, I'd like him to coach our team.
I think obviously there will be opportunity, but I think he would be pretty foolish to go back. And I don't think that the way he won, be it at Florida, be it at Ohio State, I mean, Urban Meyer was the dominant force in the program. And full-on obedience to him and he being the full driving alpha was his way. That was how he coached. That was who he was. He was in charge. Everybody knew it and everybody fell in line from Urban Meyer. And that is just not the way. I mean, he was not a college football coach that long ago, right? I mean, this was just Ryan Day's 3rd full season at Ohio State, yeah. Right? So, yep. I mean, it was not that long ago. The college coaching world has drastically changed. Now, could he come back and go to some metaphorical Colorado State and have success? Sure. Like, no question. He's a good football coach. People would want to go play for him. They'd go transfer to play for him. He'd be fine. Would he ever be able to win at a level that he would want to and that his ego would require to? No, I don't think that option is available anymore. So I don't think he should come back. He was excellent on television. Like, he was a really good TV analyst during his time with Fox. I thought he did a great job. The magic of being a great TV analyst, Dan Orlovsky does this too on ESPN, is if you can take complicated football things and make them simple and relatable. And he did that in an elite way. He had a nice way about him. But look, Urban's never going to be captain personality, but he really knows football, and he really had a direct and concise way about it. And I think that's where he'll end up back if he's in the public eye again, or be back on television, back some sort of role. He liked Fox. Fox liked him a lot. So I would imagine, I don't know if it's soon, if it's next year or when it is, that likely to be, and neither side has told me this, but there's likely to be mutual interest from both sides in reviving that. But just the level of, if Urban is a college coach in modern days, the level of partnership it takes with the players right now. And that's really what it is with, because look, he wasn't around for the transfer portal in any function that it is now. He was not around for name, image, and likeness in any way that it is now. It is just a radically, drastically different world than when he walked away from Ohio State. And because of that, I just think there would be an uncomfortable adjustment period with a huge searing spotlight on everything that happened that obviously followed him through the NFL. And I just think it would be uncomfortable if he went back in this modern paradigm.
Yeah, I mean, you started to see it at the end of his time at Ohio State when Nick Bosa got injured, could have come back and pushed himself back and just said, I'm done. I'm going pro, right? And I always thought that was a very interesting moment at that time. And part of it was like, what is going on in this team? That was 2018. But he was like, yeah, I'm going pro. And it was really more like, that's just what kids are doing now. Like, all right, I'm out of here. There's just less of it. So totally, it is a very different era quickly. Urban was saying to the NFL Network, Ian Rappaport, oh, you know, people don't, he's kind of insinuating that guys don't want to be coached as hard and stuff like that. That was part of his downfall at Jacksonville, is like, oh my, you know, roll your eyes. Like, you know, yeah, Belichick's just out there sitting in a circle, holding hands, singing campfire songs. No one's getting coached at the NFL right. level. John Harbaugh is a real nice guy. Mike Tomlin, oh, he's a peach. never raises his voice. You know, so it was a little of that. So it the game has changed a little bit on him. I don't see it because of what Pete said. He's got to win. Like, Urban's, I don't think Urban's the guy that's just like, maybe in like 10 years. It's like, I just love coaching football and I'm going to take a job at, you know, a high school job, or I'll just take a small college job and be very content doing this because I just want a team, right? Like Jim Calhoun, the old UConn coach, was coaching like D3 basketball the last 2 years, right? In Connecticut. Like, he just wanted to coach. He wanted to run practices. Okay, I don't see that as Urban because he's like, I'm going to lose. I won't win all my games. He's an all-in guy. And that elite job, I don't see it happening. And one of the reasons I don't see it happening is what happened to Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State. Gene Smith is, I don't know, Pete, you know, the AD is better than me, but as respected of an AD as there is in the country.
Very respected, yeah. Gene Smith
big
is
time guy.
Top class. Yeah,
big time AD and also just a big time guy, like a class guy, former Notre Dame player. Like this is the epitome of AD, athletic director, right? Smart and ethical, all the different things. Gene Smith got suspended, caught up in the Zach Smith situation that got Urban suspended, where Urban had the assistant coach who had, you know, been accused of all this stuff. Regardless, if I'm a big time AD and I'm like, man, that got Gene Smith got like that. Like, I don't need this. Like, you're taking a risk on yourself with Urban, and Gene Smith could survive it. And whatever, he got suspended. I don't even remember what they said he did or not, but it's like, nobody brings that up anymore because it's him. But if you're not that AD, you know, you could be gone. So I think those at that highest level, there'd be great hesitancy. Like, okay, we can win with him, but man, this is going to be like white knuckling. I got to deal with this guy. Like, he wore out his welcome in Jacksonville. He wore out his welcome at Ohio State. He wore out his welcome in Florida. Do I want to do that? So I don't think he gets that great job where it's like, you know, hey, SC wants him or Texas wants him. I don't think he gets that because those guys are going, hey, I can get the next one who plays, who colors inside the lines a little bit more. I remember when we talked about, would he go to Notre Dame? Like, he would have been the worst hire at Notre Dame. He would have been a terrible hire. Notre Dame, yeah. You have to conform to Notre Dame.
Right.
Okay, you don't sit there, and Notre Dame's sitting there like, we'll take this guy. Like, you don't sit there and say, all right, we're changing everything here, you know, and that Golden Dome be much better if we could make that blue. Like that, you know, that's help with recruiting.
There's a 5-star from Florida who wants the dome to be blue. We need it to be blue.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's not, like, nothing is happening there. So I don't see it. All right, we have had some bowl games go down. We are taping this on Sunday, December 19th.
Yes.
Get your shopping in.
Start your shopping.
There's nothing I hate more than people who say to me, people who know me, you got all your Christmas stuff done? Like, who are you talking to?
Have I started is really a better question.
Exactly.
The reason they have that gift card display at Walgreens 24-hour... there's nothing like buying your 7-year-old daughter a Cabela's gift card because that's all that's left.
Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. Maybe you'll get into hunting. What? Where's the Barbie? That's why it's there for the rest of us. Don't ask me whether I've got everything done. I've got nothing done.
I was waiting out the supply chain. You know?
It's
got to turn at some point.
It's going to be my excuse this year. It's going to be my supply chain. I was going to get you that diamond bracelet, but no one's going to buy it. Anyway, yes, we've had 2 days of bowl games. Fantastic. I mean, look, if you listen to this podcast, you probably enjoyed them. There were a ton of great games. It was a lot of fun. I thought the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl actually played out pretty well. It was funny. It was lighthearted.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a really good telecast, I thought. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah, it was good. The puking mascot actually worked. Funny how a guy who runs a late night show for 20 years is good at bits, right?
Yeah.
That's a wonder. They did have a little bit of talent behind that operation. But it was great.
Part I thought of the Jimmy Kimmel interview on the pod was when he criticized your bit.
Yeah, I know. It's been driving me crazy. Sully and I put that together at the very end.
Yeah,
I know. I just call it I was like, I should have done the two guys in a truck, Kalamazoo, visit Kalamazoo Bowl, right? Or something like that. But no, I didn't. Anyway, I got ripped. That's why he's him. I don't have a bowl. Yeah. I have nothing.
He sat around and thought about a lot more bits than you and Sully have. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he was like, this bit has got potential. Like, he kind of insinuated, this is not bad, but God, you guys are hacks. Absolute comedic. Like, yeah, we are.
He's like those guys from Yahoo wouldn't have thought of a puking camel going viral.
No, named Jimmy Camel. Yeah, no. Anyway, quick thoughts before we get to dive into Bowl Extravaganza Part 2. What stood out from the last few days? And we had FCS semifinals. We had a Division II title. Everything was going on. Go ahead, Pete. What stood out?
Boy.
Say something nice or two about the first couple of days.
Yeah, I will say something nice. Just what strikes me is like the totality of it, right? I mean, I can't say I watched every minute of every game, but I would think that the four of us combined logged a good amount of couch time the last few days. Which stood out mostly to me, because we're all selfish on this podcast, were my terrible picks. The only thing I got right about the Bulls is you should never, ever bet Bulls, because they are like completely nonsensical and unpredictable. The win that I thought was probably the most impressive was UAB. Going up against BYU, you know, a similar style D-line, O-line driven program, and pushing them around a bit and scoring 31. UAB isn't exactly a firecracker offensive program, and coming out and gutting out a tough win. That was a heck of a football game. And I mean, that's the beauty of the Bulls. Like, we probably don't sit around and watch four quarters of UAB in a normal time, and with a backup quarterback. UAB just like hung in there, went toe for toe. Tyler Allgeier, as people know, we are big fans of Tyler Allgeier on the podcast. He went off, and for BYU, the talented tailback had a buck 92, and UAB just kind of hung in there and figured out a way to win the game.
My two thoughts. First, I give credit to Conference USA, which has been folded, spindled, and mutilated in realignment.
Again,
yes. And the two teams that couldn't get out, Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, yeah, both won as underdogs. Great wins. Very happy for the Hilltoppers. Bowling Green was hit hard by those tornadoes. This doesn't make that all better, but it's nice for those fans down there to have a brief respite to cheer on their Hilltoppers winning a bowl game. And they also beat Louisville in basketball right after that. So that was a nice Saturday for Western Kentucky. But the other thing I want to touch on, Cooper Lega. Now, his name was pronounced like three different ways on the telecast. The Utah State third string quarterback who came in. Logan Bonner gets hurt. He's out. Backup is already hurt. This guy comes into this bowl game against Oregon State, touchdown underdog. They're behind when he gets in the game. His first college pass, they go out and up, double move to Devin Tompkins, a great little tiny wide receiver who's had an awesome year. 62-yard touchdown. He should probably have retired right then and there, Cooper. But he kept playing, made a bunch of very good plays. Ended up leading them to this upset victory. He goes 11 of 20 for 171 yards and two TDs in his first real college action. So I'm definitely saying something nice about him and the Utah State Aggies.
All right, I'm going to say something. I'm going small school, small sample, small school. Saying something nice about them. First off, Division II, huge win, national championship for Ferris State University. Beat Valdosta State, blew them out. Dominating running performance. I think this could portend something. Ferris State is a public school in Michigan. Valdosta State is a public school in Georgia. This has got semifinal implications.
I see where you're going. So, okay.
As good as anything. Huh? Don't sleep on. Ferris State is also from Big Rapids, Michigan, which I wish Ferris State was a D1, because Big Rapids is just a great college town name.
Be a great dateline to have.
Oh, I feel great pounding that in all caps in my Big Rapids Microsoft Word doc. Big Rapids.
They would never lose a recruit to Oklahoma State. Like, Stillwater? We got Big Rapids. What are you going to Stillwater for?
Where is Big Rapids, Michigan?
It's there. It's okay. you can't get there from here.
Okay.
Is it in the UP?
Amazing. No.
The snowshoe there.
No, it's not in the UP. It's like, just, I don't know. I don't know. No one's ever been there.
Dan doesn't donate enough to have the geography department at UMass give the full extent of
I'd like to congratulate Ferris State on winning, but I'm never finding out where you are. You're in the state I live in, but I don't know. It's not near me. Not my neighborhood. But congratulations on them. On the side, then, Division III, Mary Harden Baylor won the national championship. They won the Stag Bowl. Big victory, 57-24 over North Central College. This is what stuck out to me. Now, Kyle King, three touchdown passes. Great job. 15-0. Alfonso Thomas, two touchdowns on the ground. However, Keith McMillan, who kind of follows Division III football for at D3 football, pointed out, mentioned, if you're easily amused, which I am, and late to the party like me, which I am, Mary Harden Baylor has has two backup quarterbacks. One is named Jackson Tingler, and one is named Jackson Tingley.
Oh, come on.
This is true. Number 9 and number 11. One is from Round Rock, Texas. One is from Georgetown, Texas. They are not the same person. Tremendous roster. Sophomore Jackson Tingley, sophomore Jackson Tingler. I'm impressed that one of them.
Surprised one of them. Same recruiting class.
Same recruiting class. Like, wouldn't you just be like, I'm not signing there? Like, wait. Well, we did sign another quarterback, but you'll just, well, and he does have pretty much the same name as you. D3s, man. It's the Wild West.
Were they born on the same day?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
They're not, I mean, I'm looking at the picture. No, not twins.
Okay.
But there you go. So. Congrats to the Jacksons winning the Stag Bowl. They didn't play in the game, I don't believe. Let me check that.
Big Rapids, Michigan is between Stanwood and Reed City on 131, a little bit west of Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So it's up by Central.
It's near Central.
Yeah.
Which is not near anything.
Right.
Right. Like, when you think of Michigan, you don't really think, first off, you don't really think of Michigan, but central part is not, and then near the central part is even less. So anyway, congrats to Ferris State. I do know some Ferris State people. I'm sure they were very excited. All right, let's get to these bowls. We got a whole bunch of them to get through. And this is where it starts getting juicy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's already been fun, but it's some pretty good matchups. I was actually looking at this. 1 minute of bowl prep, not many. All right, let's start with the Ticket Smarter Birmingham Bowl, which will be in Birmingham, Alabama. This used to be the BBVA Compass Bowl and the PapaJohns.com Bowl, where one time they ran out of Papa John's. Remember that? The crowd ate all the Papa John's. A lot of angry fans who had shown up. And another time they made everybody sit on the same side like a movie set.
Oh,
to try to make
right.
it look good on TV. You could only sit in one side
like,
of the stage.
I think like half of Legion Field was condemned at that point too or something, you know?
It's possible. It's possible. The Birmingham Bowl is here. This is a dream matchup for the Birmingham Bowl. Houston Cougars, 11-2. Dana Holgorsen and his mullet is there against the Auburn Tigers, 6-6. A little local action. So, game is at noon on Tuesday the 28th. Auburn is given 2.5 on BetMGM over under 51.5.
I am going to take the Tigers, you know, the usual. This is one of those crapshoot bowls, but Dana Holgorsen's record as a bowl coach, not great. The last time he covered the spread in a bowl game was the first one he coached in, and that was a decade ago. I know Auburn is on a 4-game losing streak going in, but they were awfully good, I thought, in defeat against Alabama. I just think they're going to be the more physical team. So Auburn win, cover.
So I made the mistake during our first round of bowl picks of researching and like taking the time to look at every game and find stats and good nuggets. And I didn't do that during the season at all. So I'm going completely off gut. Auburn's lost 4 in a row. Houston's going to be motivated. Auburn's like a little bit of a mess behind the scenes. And it's going to, you know, we turn into psychologists. Like this is going to mean a lot to Houston. So I'm going to give the Cougs to cover and win outright.
Auburn has 6 people in the portal and a lot of transfers. Not good for the Tigers. But that being said, I'm with Pat. Give me Auburn.
Tricky. Motivation to me is on the Houston side. However, Auburn's basically playing at home. And I do think there's a lot of kids in the state, in-state players will be kind of happy to play in Birmingham. I'm going to go with Houston, though. I'll take the 2.5 and do this. I think they're just a better team. I think Auburn gave it all up on that Alabama in the Iron Bowl. That was their bowl game. So I will take Houston. All right. Serve Pro First Responder Bowl. Serve Pro is a restoration company. Have damage to your house. And then I love the First Responder Bowl because it's impossible to rip. I mean, who is against our first responders, right? It's one of these people that listened to our pod criticizing the names of all the bowls and said, try this, jerks. You know, like first responders. No, we love everyone loves them. Air Force versus Louisville, 3:15 on the 28th. Louisville is giving 1.5.
I'm just going to go with the better program right now, and that's Air Force, 9-3 this season, just as solid and consistent as the day is long in these games. They've won 3 straight. They've just kind of been steady Eddie, consistent, and they're going to show up, and are folks really going to want to be particularly interested in tackling them for 60 minutes? I don't think so. So I'm going to take Air Force, and let's hope they can tackle Malik Cunningham.
I'm going with Air Force as well. The three teams that beat Air Force have a combined record of 29-9, so they've lost to good teams. Malik Cunningham could be the athletic difference there, but I also watched Louisville get absolutely massacred on the ground by Kentucky. And guess who does everything on the ground? Air Force, leading rushing team in the country. Enjoy 3 hours of cut blocks, Louisville run defense, and see if you still want to tackle. I think not. Give me the Falcons.
Yep, I'm with you guys. When you got a close spread, you got to take the military academy and cut blocking for four quarters. So go Falcons.
Yeah, I mean, Air Force is a tough little bowl. That's not fun. And those guys are always motivated. Sully, this used to be your favorite game, wasn't it? It used to be sponsored by Zaxby's.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
The best.
I'm taking the over on the amount of drinks Sully had last night, by the way. He sounds like
Sully. I was chanting at a soccer game. Don't put anything on me.
Sully went to the U.S. national team game.
Impinge upon you the notion that you might have a cocktail on a Saturday night.
Any beers at the soccer game? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Exactly.
First off, Sully, don't take it like it was a negative.
No. Yeah, right. No. We're jealous we weren't there.
Yeah, I know.
I was drinking the Pistol Pete six shooter whiskey that
we did see that. Name. Yeah.
Not bad. Not bad. If you want a good little whiskey and support New Mexico State Athletics, go Aggies. They aren't in a bowl, but they made the bowl contribution to me.
No supply chain issues in Las Cruces. So.
No, terrific work by Mario and the people down there. Yeah, so I'll take Air Force on that. All right, Auto Zone Liberty Bowl, Mississippi State versus Texas Tech, 6:45 p.m. ESPN. The Mississippi State is giving 8.5. The over-under in points is 59.5. Over-under in number of times Mike Leach has served lawsuit papers in this game is 1.5. No, that's not a real odd. Maybe it is somewhere. I don't know.
Should be.
Obviously, juicy if you love old pettiness, which I think Mike Leach does. We love him for it. One time, Texas Tech coach was fired, obviously. He's back with Mississippi State and has a chance to try to curb stomp the Red Raiders. Sully, you can go first.
Yeah, this one's pretty fun, obviously. And, I think the motivation's on the state side. Sonny Cumbie coaching for Tech is already, he's got one foot out the door to go to Louisiana Tech. So I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of game planning on that side. So give me the Pirate with all the stops are going to be thrown out the door on this one. He's going to try to win it in Memphis.
Yeah, that's a win and cover for Mississippi State. Number 3 passing offense in the country against the number 118 passing defense. Nice quote from Leach. I've got great memories there, said about Tech. They still owe me for 2009, the last time they won 9 games, so maybe they'll deliver the check. So we'll see what happens there.
I give Mike Leach credit. He has wanted his Texas Tech money as loudly and overtly as any coach who has felt spurned about this. Like, as soon as this bowl matchup happened, I was like, oh, Leach is going to go back on that they didn't pay me hobby horse. Oh, boy. Nope. Oh, boy. Yeah, like this isn't going to be one of those games where they're up 6 and there's 30 seconds left and they go into victory formation in the red zone.
No. Throwing it in the end zone.
They're throwing fades, baby. I also think it is a just gross mismatch. You got a program that's in tatters in Texas Tech right now in terms of transition, coaches in, coaches out. I give Texas Tech credit for rallying and making a bowl considering their coach was unceremoniously offed in late October, but I have a hard time seeing that program as their coaching staff is scattered, just getting it together to beat a very good Mississippi State team. And Mississippi State's actually, they trounced NC State early in the year. They hung 41 on Auburn in that comeback. I see a crooked number start with a 5 next to Mississippi State's total in this game.
Mississippi State had a crazy year. I mean, they won at Texas A&M and at Auburn. Like, and you said they beat Kentucky at home. They beat NC State really well. You know, so it's just sort of like this weird season where they had some great wins, but they also had some tough losses.
They should have lost Louisiana Tech. Remember that game? They're down 21 in the fourth.
They're going to be up. And I think the reason this is 8.5 is because of spite, but I don't think that Vegas properly has understood the spite.
the desert man doesn't know petty.
Vegas with the spite underestimation.
A man with tens of millions of dollars living in the living in Starkville, Mississippi, is still wants some bucks back from. Right? I don't blame him. Actually, he did the job. He's gonna. Got to take Mississippi State on that. All right, San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. See, now we're really into like these. This is a bowl. Get to go to San Diego. You got a couple DC. Yeah, it's kind of interesting matchup. UCLA versus NC State, prime time, 8 p.m. Fox, one of the few games that's not on ESPN. North Carolina State is giving 1.5 over under 59.5. We'll start with you, Pete.
Yeah, this is a really good game. You got two programs kind of strength on strength. UCLA's revival has come through their O-line and their run game, and NC State has really been stout on in both trenches during Dave Doran's time there. I'm going to take NC State in this game in part because of the just really underrated season of Devin Leary, their quarterback. He had 35 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions, and has just quietly been as good of a quarterback as we've seen anywhere in the country this year. State will have more ability to move the ball through the air than UCLA, which obviously DTR is a dynamic presence back there, but they're limited in the pass game. So I feel like State can do enough to stop the run, and Leary can hit a couple over the top, and they will eke out a victory.
I'm going to go the other way. I agree. Good game, fun matchup, good QBs, Dorian Thompson-Robinson against Devin Leary there. But I'm going to take UCLA, a little more balanced offensively. NC State can't run, and I know you maybe don't need to against that UCLA defense, but I still think the balance is important. UCLA is a little better on third down. UCLA hasn't been bowling in 4 years, so their fans may actually be excited and show up. It's a close game for them. It's iffy whether they'll show up, but they may.
Both fans? So
both. I'm taking UCLA. They're getting a point, I believe, here, so give me the Bruins.
I'm with you, Pat. DTR is going to run on the ground on an average NC State rush defense. Petco Park will be rocking with two UCLA sissy blue-shirted fans in there. Give me UCLA.
California love. I'm taking UCLA too. Pete goes lone wolf against his guy.
How about that?
Against this guy, huh?
I always get on the NC games State. Wrong.
Pete counter programming himself.
All right, Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Guaranteed Rate Bowl. West Virginia versus Minnesota. 10:15 on ESPN. That's what we need. The 10:15 on a Tuesday night game.
Yeah, baby.
First game at noon. Last one starts at 10:15. Minnesota's giving 4.5.
It's just a Tuesday.
West Virginia's Letty Brown has opted out. Minnesota's giving 4.5.
Yeah, I think Minnesota big here. I think they're the better team. You mentioned the Letty Brown opt out. The Gophers have a one other hidden advantage here. Kirk Ciarrocca, they've rehired him. Previous to that, he was an offensive analyst on West Virginia's staff this season. So they're going to get the optimum scout on what's going on. And they've been a better team this year. West Virginia consistently inconsistent all season. Offense has failed to fire quite a bit. Minnesota defense pretty good. I think Minnesota wins this big.
My indelible Minnesota bowl memory was when they dump trucked Auburn a couple years ago in the Outback Bowl, and they also just housed Georgia Tech a few years before that in the Quick Lane Bowl. That is a way to say the boat will be rowing in all the right directions. I was going to bring up the Kirk Ciarrocca point. That is certainly, if nothing else, going to be in the heads of the West Virginia staff. They're going to have all new signals. That's certainly just if nothing else, a giant inconvenience. And West Virginia has just been a kind of a giant bucket of mediocrity this year. So I think Minnesota will be able to run the ball against the Mountaineers and row their way to a victory.
I'm with you guys. Last time Minnesota was on the field, they beat a damn good Wisconsin team, and they got the 9th ranked rush defense, 10th ranked pass defense. That's a stout D for the Gophers. So, yep, lay the points.
Gophers.
no question. I just think they're a little better than they got it all working right now. So I'll take Minnesota. All right, Wednesday, December 29th, 11 a.m. Pete, I think we know where you're going to be. The Wasabi Fenway Bowl. Will you be there?
Now, Dan, you used to work at Fenway Park. Have you ever associated Fenway Park with wasabi?
Well, it is not sponsored by the Japanese horseradish that we all love.
See, this is what makes it worse.
It is not even. That would have been weird that wasabi, a horseradish, a Japanese horseradish kind of concoction.
Which is great. I like wasabi.
I like Wasabi, too. Maybe you'd like Wasabi Technologies, Inc., which is an object storage service provider based in the United States. It sells one product, an object storage service called Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage. I don't know. There you go.
I prefer my cloud storage cold.
Yeah, well, I want it spicy information storage. Very spicy. Have some water nearby. Milk. Too much wasabi. Not no, you can play football there when I work there, but they do a good job. And hey, what the hell, right? Are you going? It's SMU versus Virginia. Virginia's given 2.5. SMU's got a couple opt-outs. Reggie Roberson, Danny Gray. Go ahead. Your choice.
So, you know, as my retirement options go, and look, I'm only like 24 years away from that happening. You know, my goal is to be... My goal is to be the grand poobah of one of these bowls and take advantage of all the corruption, Dan, that you've spent so much time diligently chronicling. Now, the Boca Raton Bowl had been a favorite for a while, but now right in my backyard, you know, mere 4 miles from me is this Fenway Bowl. So, like, there's options here for my retirement. You know, do you think they'll have, like, obnoxious green blazers for the Fenway Bowl?
Green monster, yeah.
Are there even Fenway Bowl people? Like, I don't even know if they exist.
Also, get rid of the field goals, okay? You should have to kick it over the green monster. You should set, like, if it's going to be a 45-yard field goal, they should have calculated the similar distance and then set, like, just be like, okay, you got to kick it from here. You could calculate that. Get the MIT kids to figure it out, and then they stop the game, reset, and kick it into the monster. That's how they should do this game.
Brilliant.
So I'm going to let the bidding start for my retirement services to be the corrupt bowl grand poobah between the Fenway Bowl and the Boca Raton Bowl. It was sad not to be there this weekend, by the way. It looked like a nice day. I'll take I'll take SMU.
Oh, okay. SMU.
My hope is that, you know, a few years from now, Pete is taking baby Thamel out to the Fenway Bowl to sit in the stands and say, look at this grandeur of bowl game festivities. We'll see if that actually happens. See if the bowl game's still around in a few years. But this game's the ultimate crapshoot. You got interim coaches all over the place. At SMU, Bronco Mendenhall's coaching his last game. You got players opting out. I think two good quarterbacks. But I think Virginia probably has a little bit more on the ball in terms of motivation. Send Mendenhall out on a winning note. So I'm taking the Cavaliers to win and cover.
Yeah, I have no idea either. So give me the Mustangs.
Man, I can't believe you guys took SMU. Bronco Mendenhall is like an awesome dude. We didn't get a chance to talk about Bronco Mendenhall retiring because it was in the middle of like just so much was going on. But like his players love him. Like he is a quality guy, a leader. He's kind of like the reason we didn't talk about him is because he's everything you want out of a college football coach. And so we don't pay attention to those guys. I think Virginia is going to play their ass off for Bronco, and he would be disappointed. I just use the word ass. That's the kind of guy he is. Like, he's like, I'm retiring from football because there's better things in my life to purpose the last end of my Bronco Mendenhall. They're taking him out. They're carrying him off the field like he's David Ortiz. Like, this is a big night. Virginia is winning this game. No problem. I got no problem. Okay. Classic baseball.
Well, it's a big
situation.
Morning, actually, because it starts.
Big morning. Well, big morning. And this is the situation. A lot of chapped ass Red Sox fans are going to find out that they played the JV warm-up game to the New Era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Once again, the evil empire trumps the Red Sox and gets the game after. 2:15. They could do the same thing. Kick the bowl. Kick it over center field. You get an extra point if you dunk it off the Babe Ruth statue in the little Legends Pavilion, whatever that little thing they got. Pinstripe Bowl, Maryland versus Virginia Tech, 2:15. Maryland is giving one. This would be a good regular season game. All the fans would get hyped up. Hey, we're finally playing, like, right? Kind of a local rivalry. They should be playing this thing at FedEx Field or something like that. instead, no one's going to show up for this. Virginia Tech has five starters out due to opt out, and obviously they don't have a they have an interim coach. So good times. See, Yankees, see what you get. Red Sox get Bronco, you get this. Pat, who are you picking?
I'm taking the Terrapins. This is another one that's pretty much a crapshoot, but Talia Tungavailoa to Rakeem Jarrett, big-time pass-catch combination against a suspect defense, and that's enough for me. Terps win by, like, I don't know, five.
When you call it a crapshoot, the shoot part may be generous. Boy, this is just a hard game to get excited about. There's a few when I
two
when
six
I,
and six teams.
Two, yeah, six, two and six, six and six teams. Yeah. Like, just, when in doubt, go against Pat. So I'm just gonna take Virginia Tech.
Yeah, both these teams suck at covering too. So I don't think either. Do I have to pick this game? Oh my god.
That's the problem.
Oh, give me Virginia Tech. Why not?
Yeah, I'll take the Hokies. At one point, I mean, come on. I'll take Maryland. I think Maryland will do all right. I'll take Maryland. Cheez-It Bowl, Camping World Stadium in Orlando. You probably could have had some people predicting this would be a national semifinal before the season. Clemson against Iowa State. See how the water does down there for the Cyclones. Two disappointing seasons, but they can make something out of it at the end of the day. Fun game for 5:45 that day. Clemson is giving 1 point. The big one, Breece Hall for Iowa State is out.
Oh, Brock Purdy's still playing. I'm gonna take the Cyclones. The care factor is gonna be a little bit bigger there on that sideline than Clemson. And Tigers got to replace basically everybody on that staff. So give me the clones.
So you're saying Brock Purdy playing is a good thing?
Getting to the salty portion of this.
Pat definitely picked Iowa State a few times and lost this year. That's
yeah. You think? Against Iowa back on September 11th when he was 13 of 27 for 138 yards with no touchdowns and three interceptions?
Pat,
who did you get most irrationally angry about yesterday while watching that beautiful buffet of Saturday games? Was there anybody who struck your ire?
I'm trying to think. Who was it early on? Oh, it was App State. I mean, just pathetic. Embarrassing display by the apps.
Yeah.
But anyway, no.
Yeah, Lone Wolf, that was one of two Lone Wolves on today. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
you. You're welcome. In this game, look, yes, what's going to happen? I mean, we got Iowa State players in the portal. We've got Breece Hall opting out. We've got coordinators leaving Clemson. I don't know, but I think Clemson finished the season feeling a little better about themselves. They felt terrible about themselves most of the year, but by the end, they were playing pretty solidly. You know, this was a team that won their last five games. So, and including taking out Wake Forest. So I think they have a little bit of at least internal momentum, even if they've got no coaching staff. That's good enough for me. Clemson.
The one thing I've been clear about in these bowl picks is don't bet on bowls because it's stupid. But if you are going to bet on bowls, I would bet on Clemson. I mean, just look at the talent mismatch. Like, Clemson's won five in a row. Iowa State sputtered around all year. They're going to have little run game dimension without Breece Hall. I just really feel like Clemson's kind of hot. They're you know, there's going to be basically auditioning for new coordinators on each side of the ball, but just the talent, you know, pick the team with the better players, right? It's not that complicated.
Absolutely. Clemson won five in a row to beat South Carolina 30-0. William Christopher is under fire. He's going to rap. No one motivates like William Christopher. Sweeney, Coach Sweeney.
If he wins, Dan may learn how to pronounce his name.
I will not. The Valero Alamo Bowl, San Antonio, 9:15 on the 29th. Oregon versus Oklahoma. OU is giving 4.5. Pete, you go first.
Whew. This is a little bit like that Fenway Bowl where, like, you have to do all the calculus in your head of who's going to be coaching, who's going to be playing. And then you try to do it. This is a heck of a game, you know, in so many ways. I'm going to take Oregon in this game. They're getting 4.5 points. They have a very good defense, and Oklahoma has melted against stiffer competition, especially on the defensive side of the ball this year. Obviously, Thibodeau is not going to be playing, but I just feel like there's enough talent in that Oregon program where there's some hurt pride from just getting ragdolled by Utah. This is going to be a better matchup for them. They can instill some will, and I will take the Ducks.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, this, yes, this is why you don't bet on bowl games this game. I mean, there's just interim everything everywhere. But and a lot of star players who aren't playing. Motivation, total jump ball. But I think Oregon was just a better team all year. Oklahoma was not a very impressive team. So I'm taking the team that was better all season. Give me the Ducks.
Give me a motivated Oklahoma team under Bob Stoops, baby. No Kayvon Thibodeau. Caleb Williams going to be tossing it all over the yard. Give me Oklahoma.
I'm with Sully. Boomer Sooner. I think they'll do all right. It's
Bob Stoops sees Urban Meyer coming for his job, so he's motivated.
Don't gamble. What is Pete's line? Apple
stock, Apple which is stock. At like yeah. all-time highs in the last week.
Yeah.
It all struggled right, earlier one. In the year. Josh Schaefer from Yahoo Finance was on my tail mid-October because Apple stock was slumping. And he said, actually, people would be doing better betting your picks. But Apple stock's going to win in the end. Don't bet on college kids.
Yeah, it's Christmas time. Everyone's buying them. All right, 2-6-6 teams. Battle of Carolina, North Carolina versus South Carolina. I think I mentioned once Steve Spurrier wanted when anytime these two play, the winner gets to use the term Carolina football.
Well, they're both using it because that's what the end zones are painted in the belt.
Yeah, both are named Carolina football. It's like the Mary Harden Baylor backup quarterback room. Like two Spider-Men pointing at each other, that thing. Anyway, the winner gets doused in Duke's mayo. Both coaches have agreed, I believe.
Oh.
Game is at in Charlotte, which sits on the border of North Carolina and South Carolina. Who will throw the game so they don't get hit by mayo?
I would.
Is really... Yeah. What do we got? The spread is North Carolina, 7.5, given 7.5. Over under is 58, 11:30 a.m.
Yeah, spread's a little too big. Sam Howell's going to play, so I think that's enough for North Carolina to win. But I think given more than a touchdown is too much. So I will take the Gamecocks to cover under Shane Beamer, who has had them playing motivated football all year.
Well, full circle for Sam Howell. Remember, he started his career as a true freshman starter against South Carolina in Charlotte, pulled off the win, started his great career. Another game with no conviction. I'm going to take North Carolina in part because when in doubt, disagree with Pat. In part because I don't think South Carolina is going to be capable of stopping UNC. Like UNC is going to score, especially with Sam Howell playing, but my God, don't put your hard-earned money on Mac Brown, especially this season, because North Carolina's been allergic to tackling, and they have just been a huge disappointment. So other than on signing day, keep your money away from Mac.
This is a bean pot special right here. South Carolina is terrible. Sam Howell's going to throw for 5,000 yards this game. Take the Heels.
I'm taking North Carolina, if only because I want to watch the mayo on. I want this. South Carolina has lost 30-0. I mean, like Shane Beamer did nice work this year. They won some games, but let's not get too excited.
Let's get
here.
Rattler eligible. Make this thing a shootout.
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
That'd be good. They Would should be allowed to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
TransPerfect Music City Bowl. TransPerfect is a translation service. You translate perfectly.
Okay.
I did not think that had mass appeal of a bowl game, but whatever. Sully, your Vols are playing in Nashville.
Como se dice Vols by 100.
Okay, we already know Sully's picks, so we're going to move on.
That was
They're
good,
playing
Sully.
Purdue.
All right.
Tennessee All right. is giving giving 4, over under 63.5. We have it in bilingual. Sully has done that. Pete, who you got?
But Purdue's had a nice season. Karlaftis is not playing, I assume, Pat.
Yeah, right? Karlaftis and Bell are
and
both
David
out.
Bell.
Oh, and David Bell aren't playing. I mean, if you take Purdue at that point, that's just a lot of faith. I do think these are two fun offenses. This will be an aesthetically pleasing game, but it's hard to think Purdue will slow down Tennessee at that point. So I'm gonna take the Vols in English.
Yeah. A lot of points, Vols in any language. Hendon Hooker's had a great season. And Purdue's defense is vulnerable. Their two best players are out. I think Jeff Brohm will have all kinds of crazy stuff to do. It'll be fun. You know, he'll have every trick play in the book out there. And watch Milton Wright. He's their next big play receiver. He's had a quietly good season, and he'll blow up after David Bell is out. But Tennessee wins covers.
Falls win. Recruiting helps in this because it gets some fans out. There's momentum around the program at Tennessee. It's basically a home game. So I am taking the Vols. All right. Tony
Purdue
the
being
Tiger.
Good again is helpful because we can call Pat the fourth Brom brother. We haven't used that bit in a while. So.
Yeah, no.
When the really fourth Brom brummer is going against Purdue, you know we're in trouble.
That's true. That is true. Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl down in El Paso. Washington State versus Miami. 2 p.m. CBS. Miami's given 2.5. Good times. Who stays out of the bars of Juarez is the key to this game. If you get any reports, you'll know to bet the other team. Pat, who you got?
My figuring is that the Hurricanes are more likely to end up in the bars of Juarez. And Washington State kept their coach. They made their interim coach, Jake Dickert, the full-time guy. So I think they've got a little bit of cohesion and continuity that Miami is lacking here. They did have Max Borgie opt out, but what the hell? Cougars.
Miami in a not so beautiful bowl location amid a coaching change. I mean, the motivation has to be extremely low. So, and look, Washington State, man, they did that program deserves a lot of credit. They did a really nice job rallying through just a brutal situation with their coach getting run out in the middle of the year. They rallied for Dickert, and they'll do it again. So look for Jaden Delora to tee off on that Canes defense.
This is a weird stat. The three times that Miami has appeared in the Sun Bowl, it's after they fired their coach. So,
interim coaches all three times. Solid, stable program.
Yeah, not a good spot for the Canes. So let's go Cougs.
Who is
El Paso?
Interim
coach? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Luther Campbell is the interim coach.
Might as well be with Nevin Shapiro. Yeah. Wiring in plays.
Could Colin be anything. Special teams.
Yeah, why not?
It's got KR.
El Paso is a beautiful bowl location, especially if you're from Pullman, Washington. They're going to love it down there. Washington State is going to win this game. SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl. Distribution. Okay. That's something I'm thinking Vegas. Wisconsin versus Arizona State, 10:30 at ESPN. Oh, yeah, this is a drunk fest. 30th. You're tired of sitting around all week.
Two pretty good drinking fan bases, by the way. Different climates, yeah. but there's some dedication there. Yeah.
If I don't know how many are going, but they'll per capita, they're going strong. Wisconsin's given 7, over under 42. Arizona State's without its top two running backs. Pat.
I don't know, man. Wisconsin's had a better team, I think, better season against a tougher schedule. Paul Chris is a pretty good bowl coach, 6-2 in bowl games. Give me the Badgers.
Arizona State lost to BYU. They lost to Utah. And they lost to Oregon State among their four losses. They have lost to teams that have been able to punch them in the mouth. Wisconsin will punch you in the mouth. They will stay defiantly, Wisconsin, and they will win big. So I will take the Badgers.
Yeah, this looks like it's going to be all Badgers. Give me Wisconsin.
I'm taking Wisconsin, no question. Good team, decent team. They'll do fine. Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. This is technically a New Year's Six Bowl, but it's on the 30th because why not? 7 p.m. ESPN. It is redefining the paradigm of December 30th. Michigan State versus Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett versus Kenneth Walker. Nope, not happening. Still, two very excited teams to play in a game of this magnitude. Michigan State's giving 2. Sully, who you got?
Oh, man.
You love Chick-fil-A.
I do love Chick-fil-A. I think the winner in this is the Chick-fil-A sauce, the best sauce out there on the market. No, I don't know. I think Michigan State will be able to beat up Pitt's defense a little bit. Lay the 2 points. Go Spartans.
Yeah, I think Michigan State without Kenneth Walker is probably better than Pitt without Kenny Pickett. And I'm sorry that Pickett did not take the opportunity to throw for like 550 yards against that Michigan State secondary, but he didn't. So give me the Spartans, win, cover.
I think the over on this game would be the bar tab of the Chick-fil-A Bowl officials the day they found out that both Pickett and Walker weren't playing. Because, boy, did that drain some juice from this game. I'm going to take Michigan State. I think pound for pound, they're a little better, deeper program right now. But this thing's going to be a slog now. It'd be fun to see how Pitt can really focus and get the ball to Jordan Addison, who will be the best playmaker in this game. He'll be a first team All American wide receiver next season. He was a first team All American wide receiver this season. He's as fun of a skill player that Pitt has had since Larry Fitzgerald. So it'd be a nice showcase for him. But I think Michigan State can do enough to slow this game down and slog it out. I do not see this being an aesthetically appealing football game.
This one would have been a lot more fun, obviously. Pickett and Walker are both fun players to watch, but I can't see Pitt without Kenny Pickett doing this, so I'm going to take Michigan State. A running back is not as valuable as a quarterback, and everything ran through Kenny Pickett on that team. All right, December 31st, Tax Slayer Gator Bowl. In case you still haven't listened to all the other tax opportunities, if you're holding out, games in Jacksonville. Wake Forest versus Texas A&M, 11 a.m. All right. A&M's given 5.5. Over-under's 58. None of the Texas A&M recruits they just signed are allowed to play.
I'm going to take Wake Forest. I just feel like this is going to be a Super Bowl for them to go play an SEC team. And they have one of the most dynamic offenses in the country. Obviously, Texas A&M's defensive coordinator, Mike Elko, is now at Wake's rival Duke. And I think with there'll just be enough chaos there to allow Wake Forest to run its offense. Wake Forest has SEC-level receivers, and I think Sam Hartman will be in the thicket of the Heisman Trophy conversation next season. He should have been in it, at least on the periphery, this season. And, you know, Wake Forest will bring back most of that offense and be very good. This is a really important building block game for Wake Forest because they could really start, if they finish this season 11-3, they should really start in the top 20 next season. And, you know, they will be one of the ACC favorites. As odd as it is for us to rewire ourselves to think of Wake Forest in that way, I think this offense is going to be good enough where they have to.
Yeah, I'm taking Wake here. I mean, nobody's at Texas A&M other than Jimbo Fisher. Two of their best defensive players have opted out, DeMarvin Leal and Leon O'Neal. Zach Calzada hit the transfer portal. Their quarterback is Blake Bost. He's lifetime stats, 2 for 7 for 18 yards with an interception. Advantage Sam Hartman, advantage Wake Forest, Deacons win.
Oh God, I'm gonna take the Aggies and pray that Haynes King is healthy by kickoff. Mm. Yeah,
Haynes King ain't coming back for this,
dude. Good use of prayer.
Yeah, he's getting worked back into practice right now.
You know, I was gonna pray for the kids at the cancer ward, but I'm gonna pray for A&M being able to cover.
Maybe Johnny Manziel will come back too.
Yeah, he's got one more year.
Ryan Tannehill may be back. You never know.
Like, the only thing I can think of for A&M is that the players all know that they're going to lose their job to the incoming recruits, so they got to play their ass off. But I don't think so. That doesn't normally work. Wake Forest, you're going to give me 5.5. I'm taking Wake Forest. All right, the Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. This game is on Barstool Sports. It's not on television, so you can watch it on Barstool Sports. Kind of surprised they kept the Arizona Bowl name. Barstool normally not as subtle with their sponsorships. This should just be the Barstool Bowl, right? Like, what are we doing? Like, we're trying to honor the sanctity of the Arizona Bowl by keeping that thing in there. Anyway, Central Michigan versus Boise State, 2 p.m. on December 31st. Boise is giving 8.5. The over-under is 55. Pat.
8.5, just enough to get me to take the Chippewas, I think. I don't have any conviction about it, really, but they're the hotter team. They finished the season well. They have the nation's leading rusher, Lou Nichols III, finished the year on an absolute tear. So I'm going to say he carries the Chips to the win here. Fire up Chips, cover the spread. May I don't know whether they win or not, but they're going to cover the spread.
Well, last time I took Boise as a favorite in this point range, I had the bad beat of the season when I had them for the lock of the week when Wyoming scored a meaningless 68-yard touchdown on a slant as time expired to cover the spread. Not that I remember that very vividly or anything. Sitting up watching Petros Papadakis on FS1 at 1 in the morning.
You brought it up 3 times now on the pod. I think it's still eating at you a little.
It's unbelievable. It's like you ate a poison potato.
I could have been 20 games over 500. All of which I'm giving away in this bowl season, fast and furious. I'm taking Boise. I've watched enough MAC teams get ragdolled around for me to go with the team with the better players.
Fade the MAC.
That's right. Fade the MAC. Let's go, Boise.
All right, And so Central Michigan, we now know, was near Ferris State. So they might be a little jealous that the Ferris guys over in Big Rapids, opposed to Mount Pleasant. I just like to say Mount Pleasant is flat as a pancake. There is no mountain there. It's a lie.
No mount.
Yeah. It's an absolute lie. Good skiing. Like, someone's going to show up with some skis one day. Just be like, I want to ski Mount Pleasant. Yeah, have fun. It's cross country. I'm taking Boise anyway. I think they're just a better team. 8.5 is an awful lot, though. But, hey, 2 p.m., 31st. Good game.
God help me. I'm now lone wolfing Central Michigan. What is my life come to?
Fade the Mac. Max 0-3 as we speak. All right. That is our part two. We're going to have part three because we got January 1st games. We have the other New Year's 6 games. There's also games that are not in the New Year's 6 that are actually played in the new year. Did the Tax Act Texas Bowl become a New Year's 6 game? I don't know. We'll also do the real games that everyone's fired up about, the actual national semifinals. So we'll be back, but appreciate you slogging through this. This is enough, I think. Everyone have a happy holiday weekend, and we will talk to you later.